Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Collaborative Voices from Community Networks Aotearoa. Conversations and interviews on all kinds of subjects of interest to the community and voluntary sector. Listen up for Collaborative Voices from Wellington Access Radio.
Kia ora and welcome to Collaborative Voices, presented by Community Networks Aotearoa. CNA is an organisation of over 87 networking organisations in the not-for-profit sector across the Motu. We advocate, support and resource. If you want to know more about our work, best idea is to Dr. Google Community Networks Aotearoa. My name is Patrick Davies. I'm the Engagement Officer for CNA. And on May the 12th this year, CNA held an election panel where political journalist Jehan Casanada grilled politicians from six parties on their vision and understanding of the community and voluntary not-for-profit sector. Our politicians present were Laura McClure, representing ACT, Mike Davison for the Greens, Helen White for Labour, Dana Kirkpatrick for National, Andy Foster for New Zealand First, and Dr. Kayla Kingdon-Bebs representing the Opportunity Party. Now, you can see the full recording on Community Networks Aotearoa's YouTube channel. But here, to korero and look back at the event, is CNA Executive Officer Roz Rice. Hello, Roz.
Hello, Patty.
And Sue Barker from Sue Barker Charities Law, who worked with us on this event. Hello, Sue.
Kia ora, Patty. Kia ora, KJ.
Kia ora. And so this was a really exciting and revealing night that you both created. Why, Sue, is this type of event so necessary this year?
Well, what really made me think we needed to do this was that the charitable sector is invisible, largely. The invisible subcontinent on the social landscape, poorly understood by policymakers and decision makers and the public at large, and inadequately utilised as a mechanism for solving social problems. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be awesome if we put charities on the agenda for this year's election, or at least on the radar, as opposed to constantly being on the menu, as Mark Carney and the red M&M
Well, that's fantastic. Absolutely. We want this to be really present in people's mind because we are fundamentally part of the fabric of Aotearoa.
Absolutely.
Roz, for you, was this event what you hoped it would be?
Yes, it certainly was. I really enjoyed the way that people came together and asked questions and how the politicians somehow found themselves in agreement with each other.
It was quite amazing, wasn't
it? Yeah, and we had a good number of people there. Yep. Food and drinks were great. And the feeling was very of camaraderie between everybody. So Jehan, our MC, was very slick at his really interesting method of having a discussion and bringing the questions in naturally into the discussion, which everybody felt was a really comfortable way to do it. And all over, it was just a really great, great evening.
I really think rather than like question and we get an answer from each politician, just that sense of discussion in korero is really valuable.
Yeah.
And I think it's much more revealing around what they're thinking and what they're bringing to the party, so to speak, pun ironically.
pun.
As well. Given that we are in election year and there are so many important issues, whether it be, you know, taxation on charity, whether it be compliance issues, whether it be the re-registration with incorporated societies, what for both of you were some of the important issues that cropped up, and what did you think about the politicians' responses?
In fact, the re-registration issue didn't come up for discussion.
Yeah,
and I thought that was a great shame because it's been a mess.
Yeah,
and it has affected organisations in that some of them have become not organisations, have lost access to their bank accounts, have lost access to any of their assets, and that is not ever, for some reason, it's gone all quiet.
Yeah.
And we haven't heard how they're going, what's happening. And other organisations have been, there's been an enforcement of legislation through this symptom or through this work, and that's fine, except that when everybody went to register at the last moment, none of them could get through. I know this isn't through to the company's office because it was the whole system had blocked up.
I wouldn't want to work there, got to say.
Well, the thing is that never was discussed, and it's actually a big issue. But, you know, main issues that were discussed that I found very interesting was, shall I say, their misapprehension about what the taxation issues were.
I was surprised.
I felt that they, the politicians actually didn't really know what that was all about. They had an idea, but they knew that that Minister Willis had announced before the previous budget that she wanted Inland Revenue to look at how they could tax, how we could tax the sector. And one of the things that I thought was very interesting was that she admitted the reason they wanted to tax the sector was to get more tax income so that they could afford their tax relief for businesses. So how stupid to try and get money out of a sector that's vastly underfunded. They seemed to understand that the sector was vastly underfunded, but they didn't really have any thoughts about that being an issue. And it was brought up quite often in people's conversation that they've known the sector's very badly underfunded over a long period of time, and no one, not one party, has ever done anything much about it.
It's a bit of a waste of time sometimes when it's such an uphill battle. So what for you were the important issues and the responses from your perspective?
Well, there were so many. Tax is front of mind for me as well, because they all seem to think that the Minister of Finance's announcements for all these tax proposals for the sector had been shelved. And actually that's not correct, because IRD issued another consultation paper in November 2025 proposing to introduce this new concept of donor-controlled charity, which is an oxymoron, and tax them in various complicated ways. And IRD's been doing it on the down low. They only issued it to 50 stakeholders, and I think they're trying to slip it through. And personally, I think it's very concerning. If we do go down this rabbit hole, we're about to create a mess of complexity that will definitely cause more harm than good. It will create a culture of hoarding, in my view. That's the experience of other jurisdictions, which is the very problem they're trying to solve.
Right.
And it will also create a complex system of poacher and gamekeeper, because once you create all these rules in a fundamentally purposes and principles based area of law, you encourage people to try to fall on either side of these particular lines, and that has created these quite hostile frameworks in other jurisdictions. And my question is, why would we go down this rabbit hole when the existing law already solves these issues in a perfectly elegant and effective way, an issue that wasn't even raised in IRD's consultation? So I was surprised that none of the politicians seemed to be aware of of that. But Dana Kirkpatrick did undertake to go back to the Minister of Finance and see where that was lying, because IRD are very keen on this. It won't raise any revenue, so if we're scratching down the back of the couch to try to raise money, this is not the way to do it. In fact, it'll cost them a lot of money to administer this very complicated regime. So I'd be interested to know. It would be very nice if they did step away from that, because it just would not work. There's so many better ways to do it. And actually, I had a very good discussion with some of the politicians afterwards going, oh, that doesn't sound right. Why would we do that? So wouldn't it be great if this just actually didn't happen? So that was front of mind for me.
We're donor-controlled charities, am I right in that term?
That's their term.
Could you just give us a definition of what that means for anybody listening?
It's incoherent, because a donor cannot control a charity.
That's why I'm intrigued by the way it's termed.
So why introduce an incoherent concept into our law? But that's what they think, is that donors give money to a charity and then they get that charity to fund their own personal whatever.
Right.
Which cannot happen lawfully under existing settings. There's one particular charity that they're focusing on, which has been written about quite a bit by Matt Nippert. It's the Wright Family Foundation, who, when you actually analyse it, have done absolutely nothing wrong, which is the problem, because IRD thinks, well, okay, we couldn't get them under avoidance, so we've got to come up with another way of trying to get them.
Perception.
Yeah, I think so. But the problem is that you can't target just one charity. So they come up with these blanket rules.
Right.
So there needs to be a better discussion about whether there is actually a problem here that needs to be solved. That discussion hasn't been had. There also has to be a better discussion about whether this is the best solution. And that's another discussion that hasn't been had. We haven't even put forward the alternative solution of enforcing the existing law. So, you know, it would have been nice if there was more... you know, awareness about that amongst the politicians, but maybe, you know, eternal optimism, maybe maybe the fact that they weren't aware of it means it's not on the agenda. Wouldn't that be nice?
it would be lovely to have a number of things on the agenda. One of the interesting things, so Holly Snape is the chair of Community Waikato, which is a member of CNA. She's also currently the chair of our executive committee, and we were really glad to have her in the room for the to help us open with karakia and to end. But she also, just before we go to a song, she also touched on the fact that a lot of funding goes towards the admin back end of it, as opposed to what charities get around to doing with their money.
She wasn't the only one who touched on that. All the politicians were boobling about that as well.
Do you think the politicians said anything surprising around that?
Oh, it's just their strange attitudes and lack of understanding about how organisations like not-for-profits actually work.
Yeah. I'm always surprised that when businesses put in quotes for like highways and things, there's a profit margin already put into it. But for not-for-profits, that seems to be a bit of a no-no.
They always talk about the money going directly to the clients. And I always think to myself, what do you think happens? You give us money. Do you then think all the money you give us floats through the air and lands on a client's front door? Someone has to do the work. Someone has to do the help. And you have to pay for that.
Yes, yes.
And that's the backroom stuff. That's organising that the right people are at the right doorsteps at the right time. It's making sure your staff are paid. And as Holly so rightfully put it, also someone's there to do all the bloody government compliance.
Speaking of which, we're going to head into our song, and we feel Tracy Chapman has put it quite succinctly.
Don't you know we're talking about a revolution that sounds
whisper?
Don't you know we're talking about a revolution that sounds
whisper?
While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know they're talking about a revolution that sounds
like whisper?
Poor people gonna rise up and get their share. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's theirs. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run. It's finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution. It's finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution, oh, oh no. Talking about a revolution, oh, oh, while they're
standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know you're talking about a revolution? It sounds are starting to turn. We're talking about a revolution. Yes, finally the tables are starting to turn. We're talking about a revolution. Oh, no. We're talking about a revolution. Oh, no. We're talking about a revolution. Oh, no.
Welcome back to Collaborative Voices. I'm in Kororoa with Ros Rice, Executive Officer of Community Networks Aotearoa, and Sue Barker of Sue Barker Charities Law. And we are talking about the election panel that happened on the Tuesday, the 12th of May, looking at politicians' responses to the not-for-profit sector. So we talked a whole lot about some of the stuff that occurred. But I'm really intrigued. One of the things we did at CNA is we live-streamed the event because we want politicians to reach those communities around Aotearoa, and that's really, really cool. For the two of you, if you're a small organisation in a pocket of Aotearoa, how do you think there are ways for them to get into the kōrero around what's happening in our sector? How do they engage with politicians?
I think it's very, very difficult for people who are living outside of Wellington to engage with politicians. Wellington has its own kind of subculture, and we all know, if we're living and working in here, some of the difficulties, even for us, to engage with politicians.
If
they don't want to talk to you, you'll never get to see them. and then there's some that do want to talk to you, but they want to talk to you and not hear you.
Right.
So there's some goodies, but, you know, it's very difficult. So one of the things that we have put out there to our memberships anyway is if any of them wanted to ask questions because they were watching something on the live stream and were unable to ask questions, also to people who were there who didn't get the chance to ask questions, if they let us know their questions, we're going to try and get to see some of those politicians who were there last Tuesday.
Because they said, we'd love to talk to you.
And ask those questions on people's behalf.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. It is very, very difficult. Say you live in Tokoroa, how on earth do you manage to talk to a politician? But I will say that's one of the roles that Community Networks Aotearoa takes on board, is that we, living and working in Wellington, get to know them, and they have come to our conversation, our panel, so they do know who we are, and that gives us more of a chance to represent the views of those people who are in our membership anyway.
I love that. I love that. And that's the thing. That's what we're here for, is to help spread information in plain language, help to talk about legislation, help to when we can meet and greet these politicians at our conferences, at our huis, at these kind of events. For last Tuesday, if we were going to hand out a bouquet for, oh, I really love that, and a brickbat for, really? for the two of you, Sue, what's your best top bouquet and what's your brickbat?
Well, my bouquet would go to Dr. Kayla Kingdon-Bebb from the Opportunity Party, because we were talking about advocacy by charities, right? And she goes, well, it's not that hard, you know, and people were going, oh, where do we draw the line? How do we do it? It's not that hard. And I totally and utterly agree. Charities are where democracy happens. There's all this talk about backsliding of democracy. There's all this talk about fracturing social cohesion.
Yeah.
But this is where it happens, particularly small charities. And it's so exciting to hear the role that you guys play, because we must hear the voices of small charities. So awesome to hear that that's going to be a channel by which they can make their voices heard. But, you know, and that's what most of my research has been on, which is purpose-based governance, that we shouldn't be drawing lines in this area of law. The question is the advocacy done in furtherance of the charitable purposes?
Yeah.
If it is, then there's no problem. We don't need all this hand-wringing. We don't need all these weapons to use to hit charities over the head with because they happen to advocate for their charitable purposes. We should be encouraging them to do that, you know. So an absolute bouquet to Kayla for flying that flag.
Yeah, and your brickbat?
Well, I don't really, to be honest, I'm not fence sitting here, but I don't really have a brickbat. I was really, really impressed by the collegiality. And I've always said that I do think these issues relating to the charitable sector transcend the political spectrum. It's not a left-right issue. Every political party worth its salt should want a strong, thriving community sector. And from my perspective as a lawyer, getting the legal framework for charities right is absolutely critical to doing that. And they're all saying, come and talk to us, we're developing our policy now. And I'm like, great, this is, you know, I'd like to encourage everyone, you know, why don't we... It would be lovely if the charitable sector could speak with one voice. I know how hard that is, but if, you know, we will get, you know, there's that saying, we'll get the legislation that we deserve or the democracy that we deserve, and that requires engagement and participation. So, you know, fantastic to have this pathway. So, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that there was a sense that they might sit together and have a cross-party kind of conversation around this area. I thought that was, whether it comes to pass, you know, I hope it does. Roz, what are your bouquets and brickbats?
Well, actually, interestingly enough, my bouquet is also to Kayla from the Opportunities Party.
Yeah.
Because she came up with a new idea that I'd never heard about before. And that was finding, you know, philanthropy is talking a lot at the moment, how they can increase the idea of giving and how people can be more engaged with giving to philanthropy.
Yeah.
And she came up with an idea that I'd never heard of, the golden visa people can apply for to get into New Zealand. So they've got to be fairly wealthy, right?
Yeah.
But to actually get what's called the balanced category of the golden visa, apart from having to have $10 million invested in New Zealand for 5 years, so that's everybody, isn't it? But how they invest that money, there's a list of ways that people with that kind of money can achieve this visa to get into New Zealand. One, and that $10 million can be in bonds, listed equities, some property, existing commercial and investments, industrial developments, any growth investment, and philanthropy.
Ooh.
And there's never been anybody who's been given one of these visas to get into New Zealand who has ever taken up the option of putting their money into philanthropy. And I don't think they have to put all their money into philanthropy. They've got $10 million, they can spread it around. But why isn't that pushed? Mm. Wouldn't it be great if that was seen as a source where they could perhaps put it into foundations or something like that?
Yeah.
And I thought that was a great idea, and Kayla came up with that, and Kayla's from the Opportunity Party. My brickbat, unfortunately, and I'm very sad to say this because I'm very fond of Labor, but it's Helen White from Labor.
Ooh.
So Helen goes on. All I've ever heard her talk about, well, I've heard her talk about other things, but this has been consistent, is the idea of social enterprise.
Okay.
Now, my problem with social enterprise is it's a past thing. I don't think social enterprise, this is just my personal opinion, I don't think social enterprise is an ongoing, proven positive.
Right.
Social enterprise in many cases has actually failed. There are some social enterprises that still do very well. Girl Guide Biscuits is perennial, isn't it? But and the, you know, Salvation Army op shops, they are social enterprises.
Yep.
But it is not the answer to our sector. It's a past answer to our sector. It is not a current answer. And the idea that NGOs, to save themselves and find money, need to set up businesses, that they then, the business's profit goes back into the NGO. What happens? then Nicola Willis comes around and says, let's see if we can tax social enterprises we've all done that huge work of having actually two main organisations, one working as a profit-making social enterprise and the other one as the NGO. So I just think it's too complicated, too difficult. It's asking people who are really focused on how they work their NGO well to start doing being business people as well. And then it, on top of all that, you then get punished for it. I don't see the point. I think Helen needs to look elsewhere.
Can I add to that? Because my understanding is that Helen is looking at creating a whole new legal structure for social enterprise. I thought she said, it would be good to go back to the recording, that she's drafted a bill to that effect. She said she's been to the UK looking at the community interest company, and the US has also developed all of these other vehicles, legal vehicles to assist social enterprise. But I was disappointed, to be honest, to hear about that, because on my research, I spent 2 years on sabbatical researching these issues, and these new legal vehicles have failed. They are a response to the specific rules these countries have preventing charities from running businesses. We don't have those rules. They've failed. They've failed to attract the investment needed to make them work because they're too complicated and they're a second order issue. We need to fix these issues at the level of source, which is the definition of charitable purpose, how it's interpreted, the legal framework for charities. And what really disappointed me is that if we go down this route of creating this new legal vehicle, we'll be dealing with symptoms and, again, not addressing the causes. It would just it would be great to have a really good discussion with Helen about that because, you know, I'm sure, you know, it would be really great to agree on a pathway forward that we all can get behind.
Well, I think that's the thing is that hopefully they'll actually be in the same room talking about that. Roz?
I just quickly add one last thing to the old social enterprise thing that bugs me is that we know we're coming to an end here. the social enterprise thing that bugs me is that it is an example. We're not England, we're not the United States, we're New Zealand. We're 5.5 million people. And we have a history of the government supporting the not-for-profits and funding some of them to provide services that otherwise, if they weren't there, government would have to provide.
Yes. Yeah.
Social enterprise is a way of government saying, you do this and find the funding for yourself and then we won't have to anymore.
Yeah.
And then what happens when the social enterprise falls over? You're losing really good organisations.
And we also have a tradition of being world leaders, you know.
Yes.
We were the first or among the first to give, you know, universal suffrage. You know, we stood up to America on the nuclear free issue. You know, wouldn't it be great if we looked at these other jurisdictions and thought, actually, is that really the direction we want to go? Couldn't we do this better?
Exactly.
They're not us. They are problems and solving ideas for a completely different country with a completely different population and a completely different way of running their politics.
And that's the thing. We could be talking for weeks about this is because it's such a prevalent bunch of issues. And Roz and Sue, thank you so much for being part of this program. It's been absolutely delightful. And I'd say that if you want to see the full recording of the politicians responding to all of these issues, you can go to Community Networks Aotearoa YouTube channel. And if you have questions, send them into info@communitynetworks.org.nz. Thank you, everybody. This has been Collaborative Voices presented by Community Networks Aotearoa. Wherever you are in the Motu, have a great day.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks, New Zealand On Air, for funding accessmedia.nz.